Feeling like I need to start with an apology. Maxine, I'm really, really sorry for picking that reading with all those difficult words. Although it did remind me once when I was training for ministry and struggled with a word, I said to somebody, how do I say that? And they looked at me and said, with confidence. So I want to continue looking at your series this morning. We've been looking at about the call of God. And in particular this morning, thinking a little bit more about mission and tied into that, what it means to be a disciple in that kind of context. So I wanted to share these two readings with you, the first from Jeremiah and the second from the Gospel of Mark that we heard this morning. Now I have to confess that the reading we shared from Jeremiah is probably one of my favorite biblical texts. I think it's one of my favorites because I believe it speaks so well into our situation that we find ourselves in today in the church. And I also think it identifies a part of human nature that exists in each one of us if we're prepared to be honest about it. Here are the people of God, as usual, complaining. Now, I'm not saying that I'm always complaining, but I've got to be honest, as I've got older, I am fond of a good moan now and again. Now, I don't know whether anybody else is prepared to admit that now and again, you just like to have a good moan. I go through phases of having different things I like to moan about. And at one stage, it was very definitely potholes in the road. You know, you didn't seem to be able to drive anywhere without hitting some kind of a pothole on your way. But my new favourite one, and I'm hoping that next Saturday when my last remaining daughter moves out, this moan might stop. My particular moan at the moment is, what on earth do you think you're doing putting the heating on when you're not wearing a jumper? Okay? I don't know whether anybody else can relate to that at all, but, you know, why on earth are you just... Yeah, she'll come in and say, Dad, I wouldn't mind. She's not like 12, she's 24. Dad, I'm cold. And I look at her and say, I'm not surprised. If I was wearing what you were wearing, I also would be cold. So that's my favourite moan at the moment. But here are the people of Israel moaning. And they're kind of saying to God, we don't like where we are. That, you know, they're in exile. They've been sent out into exile. And they're saying to God, we don't like where we are. Even though, actually, it's their actions that have led them to the place that they find themselves. So just give us some context. This is where the lament of Psalm 137 is sung. How can we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? The people of God have been exiled from their land. And I guess the moan is, we don't want to be here. If you can only take us back to where we were previously, then this time everything will be okay. We can be the people you want us to be if only we go back and live in the land that we used to live in. And I guess in a sense, they're longing for the past. They're longing for something which just feels a little bit more familiar. And in many ways, this is even more relevant for our own current time, isn't it? We long. You know, we don't just long for what was years ago. We long for what was a couple of years ago at the moment. And we all do it, even if we say we don't. The truth is we do, even in small ways. Can anybody remember having been on holiday? It seems such a long time ago. Is anybody thinking, look, so we're being optimistic this morning, okay? So travel's going to be opened back up again. We can walk up the steps of a plane or we can get into our car and go where we want to. Anybody thinking they'd like to go on holiday? I was a bit worried that it was only going to be me. Yeah, that's good. That's okay. Anybody planning on going to somewhere that they've been to before? Yeah, quite a few people. We like that familiarity, don't we? You know, I remember years ago we went to Aberystwyth and... a couple of years ago, we were lucky, some friends of ours said, oh, you can go and stay in a place that they own there. And said, go and stay there. And Karen and myself spent a good hour and a half wandering around Aberystwyth to find the place that my daughter, who's now 30, built sandcastles when she was three. That's how ridiculous familiarity can be for us. Do you know, I like familiarity so much that I even eat my roast dinner in a set order so to avoid disappointment. But this is a bit like my own personal confession session this morning, really. I honestly, and now please, at the end of this, I'm going to ask you if anybody else does the same. And if you could just look round, and if nobody else puts a hand up, would just one of you make me feel comfortable and just say I did. So I look at my plate, I eat my vegetables first, not because they're healthy, just to get them out of the way. I eat my vegetables first, then I eat the meat, then the roast potatoes, and I always leave the Yorkshire puddings to last. Because, you see, if I eat it in the other way round, then I get to just have the vegetables last, and I want the Yorkshire pudding. Now, here's a big moment. Does anybody else do that, or is it just me? Oh, there's at least one person. Thank you for joining in. Normally, at least two people put their hands up at that point. You know, you need to be more honest with yourself. So here we are. Let's go back to the text now. And all this will make sense, I promise, in a moment. Here, the people of God find themselves in a place that can't possibly be as good as where they were. They're longing for that familiarity. They're longing for that order that they're used to, the way that they've always done things. But how can the place where they are be good? Otherwise, how can the place where they were be so good? Otherwise, they wouldn't be where they are now. And so it's into this situation that Jeremiah is called by God to speak. Now, you can dress it up how you want, but basically, Jeremiah tells them to put up or shut up. Stop moaning for just 2 minutes, he tells them, and listen to what God wants from you. The past is the past, and your future is here where you find yourself, Jeremiah says. And what's more, Jeremiah goes on to say, your welfare and your survival will only be assured when you embrace the place in which you are living. So settle down, he tells him. Marry, have children, plant trees. And I love this next bit of the passage. Pray for the welfare of the place in which you find yourself. For when you do, there your own welfare will be. Pray for the welfare of the place in which you find yourself. For when you do, there your welfare will be. Trust me, says God, for surely I know the plans I have for you. In the passage we heard, it said plans to prosper you. But actually, if we go back to the original translation, it says plans for your shalom. Now, I think we just have to stop for a moment and wrestle with the word shalom. Now, it's a phrase that I am so passionate about. A few years ago, when I decided I was in the midst of a midlife crisis, and I decided that I was going to do what everyone, what seems to be popular in midlife crises these days, I decided I wanted to get a tattoo. So I thought, well, what can I have tattooed onto my body that I would be happy with in years to come? So I did ponder for a while having the Manchester City crest tattooed somewhere on my body, but I moved away from that after a while, and I had shalom just there, you see. I had a further midlife crisis, and I had a second one done after my first one. And that's how passionate I am about the word. And the problem is, it's one of those words that doesn't translate particularly easily into English. So often we see shalom translated as peace, and here we see it as prosperity, we see it as welfare. But really, it means so much more. It's a kind of sense of well-being and of calm. Do you know when you've had a really, really great day? You've done something that's just been fantastic. It's been fulfilling. It's just filled every longing in. You go to bed at night, and just before you go to sleep, you just pull the duvet up under your chin, and you kind of go, ah, it was a really good day. For me, that's what shalom is. But not just when I can do it, but when we can all collectively pull those covers up under our chin and go, that was a really good day. This is what God promised to the people of Israel, if only they trust God's way. This is what God promises us, if only we too trust God's way. So let's go back and think where we started. What has this got to do with mission and discipleship? What has this got to do with the call of God on our lives? Well, do you know, I think there is such a parallel between the story of Jeremiah and the story of the church today. How many times have we heard it said, or perhaps we've even said it ourselves, if it was only 50 or 60 years ago when the junior church had 300 members in it, and the church was packed and nobody could find anywhere to sit, if only we could go back there, that would be the place that we could worship God. There we could be the disciples that God wants us to be. But how can we possibly worship the Lord in this foreign place in which we find ourselves? And yet the Lord, I believe, says to us today the same as he said all those years ago through the prophet, put up or shut up. We need to own the place we find ourselves. This is where we are, and this is where God is calling each one of us to settle down. The answer to will not be found within the walls of a church, but the expanse of a community in which we live. This is mission, being called to care for those in whose midst we live. I was asked whether I wanted any graphics for the screen or any videos or anything, and I thought, well, I'll just keep it simple. This may be familiar to you. Has anybody seen this this particular picture before? Oh, nobody, so it's all new. So this is something that's produced by the London Institute for Contemporary Christianity. And it's a representation of the church. And so the box on your left, where all the dots are in the corner, that's traditionally how we've done church. We gather together on a Sunday morning, and all our teaching is to equip you for the hour that you spend in church. And the box on the right-hand side is the reality. This is the church scattered in the community. This is where God calls us to live and calls us to work and calls us to be God's people. Amongst our neighbours, our colleagues, our friends, in the shops, in our hobbies. Mission isn't something that we should bolt on as an additional activity we can do as part of a church. It is what should drive us in sharing the good news that Jesus wants to bless the communities that we are part of. God's call to mission didn't begin with passages like the Great Commission or the call of the disciples, which we heard earlier. God's nature has always been to bless God's people. So here in West Kirby, this is the city for whose welfare we need to be praying. This is where we should be seeking to build shalom. But you know, that might mean doing things differently to how we've done them in the past. It might mean giving up our tradition in order to allow people to encounter God by the rivers of Babylon. It might mean needing to be a new church in a new way and giving up everything we've done and the order in which we've always done them and let go of that which makes us feel so familiar. It might mean being less concerned about ourselves and more concerned about those who are not part of us. Our job is not to build a church in which we should feel comfortable and secure, but it's to grow a community. A community that will pray together, worship together, serve together, and learn from those around them for the welfare of those we live amongst. Mark shared with us in the passage we heard the start of Jesus' ministry. Note the words of Jesus Mark chooses to share, that Jesus came preaching a message of repentance and good news. A message that the kingdom of God, a message of the shalom of God has come near. And he follows this with the call of the disciples. Come, Jesus says, and follow me. Learn my ways. Come and learn what it means to repent and to forgive. Come and learn what it means to have hope. Follow me, says Jesus. And here is God yet again doing a new thing, an unexpected thing. Follow me. Learn from me. Hear my voice. It is you, Simon and Andrew, James and John. It is you I am calling. Come and follow me. Be prepared to leave behind all you think you know. Leave behind the comfort of all that you are familiar with. And it is time for us to hear that call again. But you know, they don't stay on the beach with Jesus where they know how to be. They're scattered around towns and villages. Come on a journey with me. Follow me. But have you ever stopped and thought, well, why do these people go? Why do they give up their livelihoods? Do you know, in early Jewish times, in this kind of Jewish world, this religious culture, being asked to follow a rabbi was a great honor. Everybody, all the Jewish boys would go off and learn the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, and would be expected to learn it off by heart. Now, those who weren't very good at that stage were just cast out to one side. But those who were great would go on and read, learn, and memorize the rest of the Old Testament, Genesis through to Malachi, memorized. Crikey, I struggled to memorize four passages, never mind the entire Bible. And that's what they'd go. But then the best of the best would then ask to be follow a disciple, follow a rabbi. Well, what does that teach us about these men that Jesus calls to follow him? Well, it tells us that they weren't the best of the best of the best. They weren't even the best of the best. They were the guys that had been kicked out at the first stage of the proceedings and they'd gone into the family business. And yet Jesus comes to them and says, follow me because I see potential in you. They recognize the privilege of call and go with enthusiasm and with their heads held high. Jesus calls each one of us here today to be his disciples. Jesus calls us into the important work of the mission of the church to pray for the welfare and work for the shalom of the community for which we are part. And so we should go as well with our heads held high, recognizing that God calls us still. God reveals himself and Jesus proclaims to each one of us, follow me, not just in our Sunday lives as we gather together here as God's church, but in all of our lives, scattered in community, in the places we live, amongst the people with whom we work, amongst those we live alongside. God has invited us into this important work of sharing good news, sharing hope, offering forgiveness in God's name, and inviting others to come on this exciting journey with us. And so I think we have to let go. We have to risk following. Let go of our way of doing things. Let go of our need to always be right. Let go of the bits of the past that prevent a future with God. And let go of that which traps us. And learn to trust that God wants the best for us and the communities that we are part of. Trust that God wants to do something marvelous in our lives and in the lives of others. And that God wants to help us to tell his story and shape his world. Sometimes the ground will shift beneath our feet. Sometimes we will be reluctant, scared, and feel out of our depth, not sure we would have done it that way. But still, to us, God says, follow me. but only when we have the courage to follow. Only when we travel God's way, only then do we begin to understand the possibilities that God has for us and for all his people. Only then will we and our community truly understand God's shalom. Amen. I invite you to join me in prayer. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, we hear your call to each one of us this morning. But Lord, as we sit here and pray this morning, sometimes we have to be honest and say that we're frightened. Sometimes we feel arrogant and think we could do it better or know it, how to do it in a different way. Lord, in those moments, help us to stop, to be quiet, and to hear your voice say, come, follow me. We pray this morning you help us to trust in your ways. That you help us to go from this place and to show Jesus to those that we meet, to the people that we live with, to our neighbors and our friends, the people we meet in the shops, to those we work alongside, to those who we share hobbies and time, drink coffee with, and enjoy company with. Help us to be Jesus to them. May we offer God's blessing, God's hope, God's forgiveness, and God's love. Not just in the words that we speak, but in the actions of our lives. Help us to build shalom here in this place, to draw people closer to the kingdom of God. And so this morning we pray, equip us, but send us out, scatter us into your community, so that Monday through to Saturday we are your people, and on Sunday your people draw together and gather in God's name to bless one another, so that we are sent out once more. So build your church. Bless your people, that we may share your love. In Jesus' name, amen.